Well, greetings to each one of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I have been blessed this morning. Sat here engaging my mind, and all of a sudden I was like, I think I'm losing my focus for the message, but that's okay. That's good. And yet I think it also will work together well. Could we kneel for a word of prayer before we continue? God, our Father, we bow in your presence this morning in Jesus' name, and we come to you as children, as sheep, needing fresh manna from heaven this morning. Lord, thank you for the blessing that you have been pouring upon us here. You've been edifying our hearts. You've been stirring our hearts and our minds, Lord. We pray, God, that you would continue that. Lord, I beg you in Jesus' name for grace as to be a channel. And pray that you would come and minister grace in life, your word, to each heart here this morning. Lord, we pray that you would come and just sup with us. Communicate with us. Be a father to us. Be a shepherd to us. And lead us. God, I pray that you would especially bless this dear congregation here. Give them strength and grace to keep pressing into the kingdom. Lord, I pray for your grace to be upon them, that you would use them as vessels in your kingdom, as laborers together. God, that you would bless their journey. Bless them as they reach out. Give them fruitfulness, Lord. Unite their hearts together and pray for the beauty of Jesus to be seen in this place. The Spirit of Christ could just permeate each one of their hearts and lives. Would you bless them, Lord? And watch over them, O God. But now specifically we pray, God, you'd come and meet with us here this morning. Let this be a service that I have been another pillar in the journey, strengthening each heart. Just give us the food we need. We're looking to you. I look to you, Lord. Help me, O God. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to talk about something this morning that I don't feel I'm qualified to talk about. So I was thinking about it. I was like, well, this can be a little bit tough. But then I thought about it. It's like, well, who will ever be qualified to talk about this subject? And I don't know if anybody ever will. And yet it's a subject that has become very dear to my heart. And I feel like I'm always reaching for it to get hold of it. And it's just simply humility. Humility. And the title this morning, I'd like to just give the title as Blessed are the Humble. Blessed are the Humble. If we walk in humility, we can be sure that God loves us and His love will connect with our hearts. His Spirit can freely flow through our lives and connect with other people. Other people will say, I don't know what it is, but I like being around that person. I just like being around that person. We all have people like that. We just enjoy being around them. And there's a permeation comes off of their lives. It has a lot to do with humility. I was sitting here this morning. I can't come here without my mind going through the years. And I'm sitting here as we started singing, thinking about humility. And I had to think, you know, you're like a lowly group here. You could feel quite forsaken, despised. I don't know what you feel like. But blessed are the humble. And I had to think, you know, just because other people don't want anything to do with us, doesn't say we're right. We can label this persecution. But if I have an arrogant attitude and heart, it's not blessed are the humble. So that isn't an automatic. But blessed are the humble still stands. Blessed are the humble. The scripture would say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed. I remember Brother Denny talking about the Beatitudes, and he talk about that word blessed. It means supremely blessed. It's not just a little bit of favor. It's supremely blessed. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the humble. Blessed. You know, we could ask the question, and we often do, or sometimes do, do I have pride? That's sort of a soul-searching question, and we all try to be honest with ourselves about it, and yet face the reality that we don't know our own hearts like God knows our own hearts. I remember asking that question and wondering, okay, how can I honestly answer it? Do I have pride? Well, we could ask another question. Do I have humility? That's just a searching. But it's the other side of it. Do I have humility? And I don't think we find humility in what our brother shared this morning and just pulling back and doing nothing. We don't find humility there. In fact, pride can cause us to do that. And the more difficulty we run into, the more we want to just pull back. But if you have humility and brokenness in our lives, we can actually walk into the face of difficulty and just let God work it out. Because if we have humility, it's not about me. It's about God. Humility maintains a dependence on God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the humble. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that happened in His life. In a major way, He looked like the loser. He looked like the loser, but it was the greatest triumph that would ever happen. So many times, the way we look at life, the way we interpret triumph and victory on this earth is not God's way of triumph and victory. I don't know which way to call it, the high road or the low road. But the low road in the Christian life is the high road before God. Jesus dying on the cross was the winner. In an earthly perspective, he looks like the loser. But he was the winner. And we keep that in mind as we face life. It's not about being the top dog. It's about following Jesus, about walking with God. I don't need to win on the earthly perspective. But I need to win with God. Humility is willing to be the loser on earth. Humility, but blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. It might feel gratifying to win the argument, only to be the loser. I don't know if I'm making sense, but winning with God is different than winning in people's minds. Humility. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. And then James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Very familiar. Blessed are the humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Now, the first one in Peter is in the context of elders, I do believe, and yet I think this applies to all of us. Be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility, and he gives the reason for it, for God resists the proud. Now, that matters a lot. If we become someone that God resists, we're not winning with God. We're not on God's side. Well, he says, in order to avoid that, be clothed with humility. And I don't know if I could just use myself as an example here this morning. I got clothed to come here. You see probably about 10%, maybe less, of my skin because I'm clothed. Now, we just think about that. Be clothed with humility. How much does that engulf our walk of life? Our feet. Be clothed with humility. That would be walking in humility. Well, that affects every day. Now, I have my hands sticking out this morning, but maybe I should have come in here with gloves on. But I think even we think about our hands being clothed with humility, that's the labor we're about every day. Be clothed with humility. Our mouth needs to be clothed with humility. The words that come out of our mouth needs to be clothed with humility. The way we think needs to be clothed with humility. Even the way we hear. We can be listening to someone, just waiting for them to get done so I can say my piece, and I'm not even hearing what they're saying. And if I approach God the same way, I'm not going to be hearing what God is saying. I'm just waiting to give my piece. We need to hear with humility. We need to see with humility. The very inner being of us needs to be clothed with humility. Our whole being needs to be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Grace is that divine influence upon the heart that gives us strength to be overcomers that comes out in our lives. He gives that to the humble. Blessed are the humble. He says in verse 6, He says, humble yourselves. I always find that an interesting or great responsibility, I should say. Humble yourselves. In James, He says it too, in verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself. This word humble means, there's three different words in the Greek, and I just have them all here. They're used in different places, but they're very similar. The first one means depressed, that is humiliated in circumstances and disposition. The second one is humiliation of mind, that is modesty. And the third one is to depress, to humiliate in condition or heart. And then ways that it's used is base, cast down, humble, of low degree, low estate, lowly. Humbleness of mind, humility of mind, loneliness of mind. Abase, bring low, humble self. To allow the self-image of us to go down. It's not about me. It's not about me. You know, it's very natural for us to want to puff ourselves up. And I brought a couple balloons along. It's very natural for us to just sort of put a little bit of air in ourselves. And I mean, after all, I'm a person. Shouldn't I be respected? Shouldn't I be considered? I mean, after all, you're walking on my feet and you're hurting me. That's not out of order, is it? We naturally puff ourselves up. We naturally are not a lamb dumb before the shears. We naturally are not that way. Very easily, it becomes all about me. Very easily. Very easily, I want you to give me a little bit of space so I make myself a little bit bigger and broader so that I have my space. It's very natural for us. And sometimes things get a little out of control and begin to fly around. And it's because of all the puff that is in us. All of a sudden, someone's, I don't have a needle up here, but I could be pricking with a needle and there'd be a big scene. Sometimes we get pricked and there's a big scene. Is it about me? Blessed are the humble. Now, for the sake of considering this in a different way, we have a balloon with some air in it, and we have a balloon with no air in it. We just read, if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. Which one do you think God wants lifted up? The empty one or the one that's puffed itself? How many times have we heard people say, God would like to use us more, but we're too big in our own eyes. And if He used us, we'd want to take all the glory and all the credit. We need to be like this one that is flat. You're not going to notice this one much, are you? I can't see what's coming out of my pocket. I should have had a dark one instead of this yellow one. But you still don't notice it a whole lot. You get this red one up here and you notice something about the balloon. And it seems like the higher this one goes, the more we pause and sort of put a little more puff in it. But that's exactly the problem. The higher we go, God using us, the more puff is in it, the more we want to take the glory to ourselves. And it just doesn't work. Blessed are the humble. God will give grace to the humble. But if I think highly of myself, I'm not going to be usable with God. But this happens over and over in our lives. It's a constant journey of learning to let the air out of the balloon. And we can do that. We go to God. We can just let the air out of the balloon. And we can humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and come back to size. I think God can even take the stretch back out of it and put it back to size where it ought to be. But if we fight against God on this matter, and we're determined to have our own space, we blow the air in, and by the way, it's hot air. It's selfish air. And then we try to relate to people. We try to do God's work. We can't understand why it's not working. Might even have all these things to say what everyone else has done wrong. But all the time, I'm making space for myself. Where is Jesus when I'm doing that? Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. So many times, we want the attention. We could turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 16, says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows, and saying, I have piped unto you, and you've not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you've not lamented. I'm going through this exciting time, and you're not here to clap for me. You're not here to applaud me. I'm going through this hard time, and you're not sufficiently bearing the burden with me. You're just letting me sit all by myself. Who is this about? It's about me. Wanting the attention to ourselves and blowing ourselves up. Make the puff a little bit more. Verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking. You say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. You say, behold, a gluttonous man. A winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." Another thing that happens in this puffing is we begin to put other people down. We begin to criticize other people when it's for one reason, to try to make myself look better. This is starting to look pretty tight. But this is what human nature does. This is what human nature does. It actually gets to looking that tight. We get used to it. We're beginning to wonder how much can this balloon handle. But we blow ourselves up that big. So you wonder how much can it handle? God says, blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. He began to upbraid the cities that were where most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For the mighty works had been done in you that were done in Tyre and Sidon, you would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. They would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes instead of looking like this, saying, well, you didn't feed us enough. Looking for something else and wondering, questioning. Another puff. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. But thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You know, it's appointed on a man once to die, and after that is the judgment. And God says, blessed are the humble. We don't want to end up in a disaster at the end of life. Blessed are the humble. We don't think I'm doing that. We don't think that. But what happens when we get under pressure? What happens when people don't say nice things about me? Maybe it's my brother in church. Maybe he's right about what he's saying. Blessed are the humble. If we blow ourselves up, we end up in a disaster. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. God has hidden the true riches of the kingdom from the wise and the prudent. He's revealed it to the flat one that has no air in it. The flat balloon with no air is the one that God will speak to. The one that's all blown up with self is not going to hear the voice of God. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. He has hidden them from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son, but the Father knoweth, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He's saying, only those that the Son will reveal the Father to will get to know the Father. Do we want the Son, the Lord Jesus, to reveal the Father to us? I believe the answer is yes. Then we need to be humble. Let's continue here. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me in verse 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Blessed are the humble. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, come and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Take the yoke of being meek and lowly in heart. And he's saying, come to me and let's let the puff and the air out of it. Come to me and learn of me. Take my yoke and learn. Jesus is meek and lowly in heart. He says when we're meek and lowly in heart, we'll find rest for our soul. No matter the storm can rage. But blessed are the humble in the midst of the storm. That's how Jesus could lay in the bottom of that boat in the midst of the storm. He was at rest. Meek and lowly in heart. The word was, we're going to the other side. If that means it's through the bottom of the ocean, then it's through the bottom of the ocean. We're going to the other side. When God said we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. And we take the Word of God and it tells us the truth. Well, that's the truth. And if someone disagrees and carries on and storms and says all kinds of things, that's okay. It's not going to change it one little bit. I don't need to get all worked up about it. I can just rest in the boat like Jesus did. We can rest in Him. They're taking Him on. They're not taking us on. But now if I have puff in me and someone's trying to deal with my puff, I need to be listening. Humility. Brokenness. Let's let the air back out of it. But if the air is out of it, we want what God wants. And people can say and do whatever they want. It's not going to change it at all. We can go to the cross and learn of Jesus. Learn from Jesus. He is meek and lowly in heart. He says, come and take my yoke and learn of me. I'd like to go to Romans for a couple verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This is a good verse. We know verse 1 and 2, but verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly. We get on a high on ourselves. He tells us to think soberly. And it's about how high we think of ourselves. His word is that every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Is it about me? Or is it about Jesus? Is it about the Word of God? Or is it about me? What's happening in my heart when people disagree? Is it about me? If it's not about me, I don't need to be rising up within. I can just walk in humility. Galatians 6 verse 1 talks about when someone has a fault, that those of us that are spiritual should restore such a one. But be careful for yourself, lest you also fall. Don't think too highly of yourself. We all have the same potential. We're made of the same stuff. If all of a sudden I'm Mr. Spiritual, and here's my needy little brother, oh, that's puff. That's blowing up the balloon. And God isn't going to be pleased. Those things don't turn out right. Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." In honor preferring one another. I'd like to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 for that also. "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." We cannot prefer each other and esteem each other with pride. We get a pecking order with pride. We get a ruling like the Gentiles do with pride, where we rise to the top so we can rule and tell everybody else what to do. But where there's a brotherhood that is esteeming each other in humility, preferring one another, it's different. We actually hear each other. This is about Jesus. And if our heart's truly for the kingdom, then none of us is going to be trying to lift ourselves up. It's going to be about the kingdom. We have a common cause. We have a common purpose. And we're pressing into it. Blessed are the humble. The testimony of the church should be, oh, how they love each other. How they work together. I believe in the early church it was, they had that testimony. And people were in amazement as they watched that thing work. What's going on? How can they do that? This is different than anything we see anywhere else. Well, blessed are the humble. Preferring one another. We need to learn to enjoy listening to other people share. We need to learn to enjoy listening to other people share. Share about their lives. Share about what they're doing. Instead of talking about ourselves. I'd encourage you, if you have not done this, I'm sure some of you have, maybe most of you have, but if you have not done this, go on an observation study of people. People love to talk about their own lives. People love to talk about their own lives. And if we're one of those that can't do anything but talk about ourselves, I'll guarantee you, you don't have very many friends. But that's a real lack of preferring one another. It's pride. It's puff. We need to learn to listen to each other, to hear each other, prefer one another. And yes, true fellowship is where it goes both ways. Where both are caring about each other, excited about the Word of God, about what God is doing. That's true fellowship. But if we become one of those that has a listening ear that is willing to hear what others have to say, and actually care about what's going on in their lives, you'll have more friends than you'll know what to do with. You'll have more friends than you know what to do with if you can give a listening ear and a heart that truly cares. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. And there are people like that around. I've been in conversations and all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? This person hasn't told me anything about his life yet. He's just been asking me questions and drawing me out. He hasn't told me anything about his life yet. I'm like, I can't let him get away with that. But those are people that have their focus on others. And they're there ministering and sharing and contributing. And their lives are blessed. Their lives are blessed. You walk away and you say, that person cared about me. God is looking for those kind of people. Blessed are the humble. They're not lifting themselves up and having to talk about everything they're doing all the time. My brother's thoughts are important. My brother's thoughts are important. Others often have better ideas than I do. Can I learn from my brother and from my sister? Or do I have all the answers? If I have all the answers, then it's this puff. And it's pretty big already. It's at the point where it's ready to pop if I have all the answers. We just let it out. You know, I really don't have all the answers. None of us do. None of us do. None of us are good at everything. We need each other. That's why there's a body. But all of a sudden, if I think more highly of myself than I ought to, then there's trouble. There is not one gift that just dominates all the rest. It's a body working together, uniting hearts together. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. You know, there's a scripture in Matthew 18. Talks about the servant that owed this big debt. And his master called him in and required that it be paid. And he said, I can't. He said, well, I'm going to put you in jail, in prison, until you pay it all. I can't quite remember, was he going to sell his family or not? And he begged him to have patience. And his master forgave him the whole debt. But that same servant goes out and gets a fellow servant by the throat, it says. Because he owed him a little bit. He said, me pay you all you owe. And he begged him, give me a little time. I'll pay you everything. And he said, no. And put him in jail. It's not the way of the humble. It's not the way of preferring one another. When the master of that servant heard what he had done, he was displeased. And I believe it's a parable of how God looks at us and the great debt we owe that He forgave us and now how we relate to each other. That's what that parable is talking about. What are we doing with our brother, with our sister? We've been forgiven this great debt. How do we relate to them? Do we exact it upon them? Pay me all that you owe. Or is it with humility? You know, I was forgiven a great debt. I understand. I failed too. Brother, I'll forgive you. It's okay. Let's join hands. Let's go on. And yes, to truly join hands, there needs to be an acknowledgement that, okay, I failed here. I'm sorry. But the humble, blessed are the humble, preferring one another, esteeming one another. I think I'm going to read Mark chapter 1 here, verse 35 to 34. This has to do with popularity. And Jesus, the way He responded to popularity. So we look at this subject of humility. I think we need to be honest and real about the popularity issue. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. In the morning, this is after He was healing the sick and casting out spirits. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, in verse 35, Mark 1, 35, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him. And when they found Him, they said unto Him, all men seek for Thee. Jesus, everybody is looking for You. Now we know, in our human flesh, when everybody is looking for us, and they're all excited about what we're doing, and we just enjoy that moment of glory. That's automatic. Everyone's looking for You. Verse 38, and He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Wow. Deliberately, He's sidestepping and saying, let's just go to the next place and start over. Let's see what happened in the next place. And He preached in verse 39 in their synagogues through all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And straightway charged him forthwith, and sent him away, and said unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man. Jesus was saying, there's too much popularity. Please don't tell anybody. And if we go through the Gospels, we see that repeatedly. He was toning down the popularity. That's exactly opposite from what we naturally want to do. But blessed are the humble. He said, go show yourself to the priests and offer what they require for a cleansing, for a testimony. Humility, a couple more points. Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There's a lot of puff and show in our day to try to attract attention to the ladies. There's lots of extras. There's lots of frills. There's exposing and immodesty. There's on and on we can go. He says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be blessed. That's God's perspective. It's different from what people think. It's different than the way of the world. The fear of the Lord, that shall be praised. But all the makeup, all the hairdos, all the fluff and puff, it's about self. And God is not attracted to it. God is not attracted to it. God says, blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. Don't even desire after it. It's a curse. It's a curse. It doesn't satisfy. Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11. He, this is God, delighteth not in strength of horses. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord hath pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. I think you could say he taketh no pleasure in the arms of a man either. You don't see God looking down on someone on the bench. And heaven says, look at that! He did 400! I think in heaven it goes silent over that stuff. Especially for young men. We like to glory in our strength. We've finally grown up and we can do some stuff. Well, I will grant that it's not good to be a weakling, that we can't go work. But when we glory in it, now it's completely changed. It's completely changed. When we're showing it off, it's completely changed. When we're showing that off, it's air in the balloon, puffing ourselves up. And the goal is that I can physically outdo somebody else. He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. What the Lord really likes, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Oh, the fear of the Lord should cause us to walk in humility. Blessed are the humble. And I want to turn yet to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This one is really good too. I'm sure I didn't say everything that could be said here. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 17. says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, or not many mighty, and not many noble are called." People that blow themselves up are not called. Even though we try to do this in the church, it doesn't go well. Is it about me? Or is it about God? Is it about Jesus Christ? Is it about the Word of God? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And he said the reason for it is that no flesh should glory in his presence. When we blow ourselves up, we are glorying in his presence. God cannot use people that will glory in his presence about what he's doing and say, "I did it." God needs the glory. God needs the honor. We're just servants. I don't know if that's right to say just servants. We are servants. With God, it's a big thing. It's not just a just. We are servants. He values his servants, but he's looking for humble servants. Blessed are the humble. We're not to glory in our flesh before him. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." There's the glorying rights. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And when we glory in the Lord and we magnify the Lord Jesus, we lift him up and we're fully acknowledging it's not about me, it's about him. "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Blessed are the humble. The humble can freely glory in the Lord. But if we're proud and blow ourselves up, then we begin to want to mix that thing. While we glory in the Lord, we want to try to make sure that there's some space for me. And it just begins to confuse it. Blessed are the humble. God says he doesn't want any flesh glorying in his presence. "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Verse 30 again, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us." He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. And he's our redemption. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. In Luke chapter 20, I think I'm going to turn there. Luke chapter 20, verse 17 and 18. Talks about brokenness. And he beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, the one we are to glory on in. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." What he's telling us to do is we need to fall on the rock, Jesus Christ, and let him be our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Realizing that in ourselves, we are nothing. And then we glory in him. If we blow ourselves up and refuse him, we want the honor, we want the glory. There's a judgment day coming. And he says we'll be ground to powder. Let's fall upon the rock. Let's fall upon the rock, the Lord Jesus. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," he says, "then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land." Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. What better place to be than to be heard from heaven, to be forgiven, and have our soul healed? What better place to be? No matter what's going on around us, no matter what people are saying, no matter how crazy they may think we are, if we've been heard from heaven, our sins are forgiven, and our soul's been healed. We have assurance of salvation. He's our wisdom, he's our righteousness, he's our sanctification, and he's our redemption. What more could we ask for? Blessed are the humble that can walk that way, walk in the fullness of it. And when others disagree and say things, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. I can rest in peace, or we can rest in peace, in the bottom of the boat, in the middle of the storm. Blessed are the humble. Oh, for the grace that there be no air in the balloon of ourselves. Just let it all out. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Paul. My mind went back to some years ago here with the young Martin boy who rode his bicycle in the Tour de France competition and won a large medal there and won the grand prize of that tour. And so much was made of him locally here in the papers and everything, and interviewed his mother here locally. But all at once they discovered that he was drugged. And he denied it. And I talked to one of his young men who went to school with him. And I remember the report so fairly well, that how this boy went through all the years of his school years that way, determined to do whatever, do the ultimate, puffed himself up, exalted himself in all kind of things. Anyway, when they retested a couple times, solidly denying it, and finally stripped him of his title, took his prize away from him and gave it to another. And it was a big ado about it for a long time, many of you remember, but finally he acknowledged that it was true. He was drugged in order to take that grueling bicycle tour and win that prize. And I think, as I remember, it ended up that the runner-up was also proven to have been drugged later on. And it's one of the things he had said, but to see how the pride had lifted him up and blown him up to such a level that he couldn't acknowledge the truth for a long time, till the laboratories humbled him and the law and took everything away from him and stripped him, and finally he acknowledged that he had lied all those other times. And that was so sad, you know. And I see it again and again with celebrities, and Brother Paul, you mentioned about beauty and human beauty and all the things. And then to see those people in and out of rehabilitation centers and commit suicide in the middle of their years and be so terribly miserable that they can't stay with a partner and all those things. And then to hear you say and quote the word of the Lord, how the fear of the Lord is so much better than all those things. And to see the destruction, to see the balloons burst, to see the misery that comes from pride and from lifting ourselves up. Those of us who have a bit of age, and I think nearly everyone in this room, probably 15 years and older at least, has surely seen it. Seen it in some of your friends and making their great boasts. But those of us who are older have seen the end of it, seen the bitter, bitter road that it has taken men down. I am very grateful for this message this morning, and think that it's so good that we have that constant reminder, humble ourselves in the sight of God. He will lift you up. Deflate your balloons this morning. All of us, let us deflate our balloons and be what God wants us to be. And exalt Him. Let it not be about us, but about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.